We all want some level of safety and security. Firefighters, construction workers, EMT. They're all there when you need them to help manage life's chaos. In retirement, you want that same level of safety, but who is there for you to make sure your money will last? Ryan isn't just there in case of emergency. He's there so you don't have an emergency with your money. A safer retirement doesn't mean a boring retirement, but a prepared one full of the things that inspire you. This is Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker.
Welcome to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker of Decker Retirement Planning. Also joining us today, Aaron Ray of Decker Retirement Planning. I'm Mark Elliott. Glad you're with us. Hey, as I start every time I do this show, I always say this. You have the opportunity to learn more about Brian, Aaron, and the team just by going to the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. But you can also go to that website under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. There's about 12 different things you can download. There's no cost to you to do so. It's really just the stuff that's there for your information, trying to learn more about retirement. The one that I think would be great to download would be Brian's book, The Decker Approach Book. Brian, do you think that's one of the greatest offerings you have, people to get
it's
your
right book? It's right up there with Hemingway and Thoreau, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, you've got Brian's book on retirement, The Decker Approach. There's a three principles of retirement book, a checklist, challenge, sample income plan. Those are just four of the 12 different things you can download. Again, that's DeckerRetirementPlanning.com under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. Download any or all, whatever you would like. It's an opportunity for you to learn more, maybe get some questions answered about, boy, I wonder if I have enough to retire. Will my money last as long as I need it to? Are we going to be okay? All those questions, you can just call the team too. 833-707-3030 is the number. No cost to chat with the team. If they can help you, they will tell you. If they can't help you, they will tell you. If you don't need their help, they will tell you. But if they can help you, then it's as simple as, do you want their help? There you go. 833-707-3030 is the number. 833-707-3030. So, Brian, we're going to talk about risk today. Are we talking about heli-skiing? Is that what we're talking about, the risk of that? Jumping in a helicopter, let off at the top of the mountain, and ski down?
Oh, I've done that many times, and that is the apex of skiing, in my opinion. But we're going to talk about retirement risk and talk about, in contrast, the difference between the recommendations from the bankers and brokers and how distribution strategy is quite different. So I want to tee this up, Aaron. First, when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you appropriately should be using accumulation strategies, buying and holding, asset allocation, pie chart, investing, riding through the markets, because what the heck if your 401k goes down 30, 40%, your income's coming from work, and every 2 weeks you're kicking in money, dollar cost averaging into a down market. You've got the time, the 3 to 5 years that it takes for the markets to recover. You actually end up being the better for it. You benefit from that strategy. We're all over that. We agree with that. We approve of that. But once you retire, now that same portfolio is no longer a 401k. It's converted into a pie chart, a diversified portfolio that's supplying income for you in your golden years of retirement. Now that portfolio goes down 30, 40% and you're drawing income from it. That is terminal. That will send you back to work. We don't recommend you do it. In fact, we make the point that the very strategies that work when you're accumulating your estate for retirement don't work in your distribution years of 60 plus. But let's take this apart, Aaron. First, we're going to talk about the different risks that are out there. One of them is interest rate risk. So explain to the radio listeners what interest rate risk is and how we eliminate it, completely eliminate it.
Yeah, so a lot of people, and this is thrown out very commonly in the financial industry, believe that as you get older or closer to your retire date, you should put an increasingly larger percentage of your overall portfolio into bonds or bond funds. So this ties directly to your comment about the interest rate risk there, where what the Fed does from an interest rate perspective and the yields on treasuries and other fixed rate instruments somewhat follow that, that can be a problem when you're actually looking to protect the money. So a lot of times people will just follow a traditional approach of having a 70-30 portfolio or a 60-40 portfolio where they have 30, 40, 50% of their retirement funds in bonds or bond funds. Now, especially the last couple of years, those types of portfolios have got hit hard, where in especially 2022, you have the stock portion of your portfolio going down 20 to 30%, depending upon what you're invested in. And then the bond portion also going down about that same amount. I saw a lot of those portfolios that were down 25 to 30% on the bond allocation as well. And the reason being is as interest rates rise, bonds and bond funds lose money. So a lot of people are confused. We're like, hey, I thought this was supposed to be the safe portion of the portfolio. Why am I getting hit so hard, or why am I having such a big drop when this is supposed to protect my portfolio? And the dramatic spike we had from late 2020, early 2021 in interest rates, where they were basically zero at that point, to now where they're up at 5.25%, 5.5%, that spike in interest rate really hit the bond market and a lot of those fixed rate investments hard, where they are not the protected instruments that a lot of people think they are. So it's one of those things where when we put together our distribution plans, when we find investment vehicles that are designed to provide protection, we typically don't use bonds and bond funds because of the interest rate risk associated, where we don't want what the Fed decides to do, raising or lowering interest rates, to have an impact on how protected or not those funds that are supposed to be safe in your portfolio are. We want to make sure to use investment vehicles that don't have that same level of interest rate risk, that actually are protected from those market movements and from those Fed rate movements.
Okay, and I want to point out that you don't keep doing something for the reason of because, quote, we've always done it this way. And that seems to be what the banker broker community did. The interest rate chart going back to Abraham Lincoln shows a cycle from 1940 where interest rates bottomed at 2% on the 10-year treasury, then went up to almost 15% in 1980, 40 years of rising interest rates. Then they peaked in 1980, and then for 40 years they declined to where August of 2020 we hit 0.47%. 0.47%. Why? Now, you mentioned to the radio listeners about the rule of 100. If you're 70 years old and then the interest rate is at 0.47%, would you really allocate 70% of someone's full retirement to something that yields less than 0.5%? Seriously? And it has interest rate risk, where the interest rate going higher will lose you big bucks, big money. And that, in fact, is what happened. We've warned people about this for years, for easily over 15 years. We've warned people that rising interest rate environment will lose you money in bond funds. That is interest rate risk. So from in the last 3 years, like you said, Aaron, people in their quote-unquote safe money have lost, about 35%. And so that just doesn't make sense to us. We've warned people about that. And by the way, I don't know that this interest rates are a slam dunk to go lower. I want to hear, Aaron, what you think. There's a tug of war between Treasury that with a $34 trillion debt wants a lower rate on that. So of course they want it lower, but these bond auctions that keep happening, you can't move that kind of volume at a lower rate. So we have these horrible bond auction where rates don't go down. They keep kind of staying flat or trending a little bit higher. Now, what are your thoughts? The stock market started the year with a slam dunk 4 rate cuts baked into any market increases. Now we're down to maybe 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been interesting to see the development of how that's been projected out. Because if you look at middle to end of last year, everybody was like, oh, early 2024, interest rates are definitely going down. They're going to drop like a rock next year. If I remember correctly, the original estimate for the start date for the cuts was going to be March, which is where we're at now. And over the last 2 or 3 months, that date where the Fed and some of those other officials project rates to start dropping keeps getting pushed back. It was March, and then it was May, and now it's June. And it wouldn't surprise me if that continues to get pushed back, or they just dramatically reduce the number of rate cuts that they're planning on doing. So like you mentioned, Brian, I think it was 5 or 6 was the original estimate end of last year, and now they're down to 2 or 3. And it wouldn't surprise me if that gets pushed out even further, because I feel like the Fed has been very, very staunch on their stance that they are going to focus on getting inflation down to the target levels that they want it to be. And some of the data that's come out recently has been kind of against that. And obviously, there's different pockets that are more or less in line with what they're hoping for. But overall, it's been a kind of a weird situation with the market economy doing quite well. And the interest rates or the stock market also doing quite well, which has necessitated that they continue to delay the dropping of those rates. So it'll be really interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
Okay, now we're going to go through. I hope our radio listeners can either listen to or at least get the podcast and listen to the whole thing, because we're going to cover not only shooting down what we're against, we're going to step up and say, here's what we actually do for safe money. So there's 3 ways that we reduce risk. One is quantitatively. Actually, we just hit number 1. We eliminate interest rate risk because we don't use bond funds. And we hope our clients don't use bond funds, because it is not a slam dunk that interest rates are going to go down in the next 12 to 18 months. The second risk is the quantitative risk, or the percentage of portfolio exposure. Now, a lot of people in retirement have a 60-40, 70-30 portfolio. Aaron, you've been doing this long enough. Doesn't that number just make you shake your head? Someone who works all of their life and they put 60 or 70% of their portfolio at risk. Now, keep that in mind. I want to give you another data point and then you can respond, Aaron. Markets have changed. In the last couple of years, markets have changed. Here's how. There's been 4 times and only 4 times that the S&P 500 has traded above a market valuation of 30 times trailing earnings. Only 4 times. One was 1929, and it took 17 years to get your money back. Second time was 1964, 18 years to get your money back. The third time was November of 1999, 14 years to get your money back. The fourth time was November of 2021, and if history repeats, and it's been accurate 100% of the time, any passive buy and hold investment strategy where you buy and hold mutual funds, indexes, stocks, or ETFs will yield you a 0 return over 10 to 15 years. That is devastating for someone in retirement in 2 ways, Aaron. One is if you've got 60 or 70% of your portfolio that you're drawing income from with a passive index investment strategy, you are in big trouble because the markets have changed. And if history does what it's done every single time, you'll have a 0 return. The second is that amount of money at risk. It just makes no sense to us.
We got to get a break in. 833-707-3030. If you'd like to learn more about risk and how much risk you're taking, is it the right amount? Are you doing it the right way? Great thing to figure out before you actually make some mistakes. Brian and Aaron and the team at Decker Retirement here to help. 833-707-3030. Back with more of Safer Retirement Radio right after this.
Have you ever done something and then thought, well, that was a giant waste of money? You might have that same thought in retirement if you don't plan for taxes. Call the team at Decker Retirement Planning to make sure you aren't giving more to Uncle Sam than you have to. 833-707-3030. That's 833-707-3030.
Who likes uncertainty? Wall Street certainly doesn't. With near record inflation and partisan politics, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. What will America's future look like? What will your future look like? Will your taxes go up? Will your savings go down? For more than 3 decades, Brian Decker has seen uncertainty come and go. No matter what the future holds, Brian and the team at Decker Retirement can help you create a plan designed to preserve your finances in uncertain times. And it's not a matter of if those uncertain times will show up, but when. Call 833-707-3030 now to meet with Brian Decker and the Decker Retirement Team. If uncertainty is causing you to feel insecure, Brian Decker can help. Call 833-707-3030 and schedule your visit today. 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Welcome back to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Aaron Ray of Decker Retirement Planning. 833-707-3030 if you have questions about retirement, income, investment, taxes, healthcare, legacy planning, Social Security, Medicare, all those decisions we have to make. Are you making the right ones for you and your situation? And Brian and Aaron and the team at Decker Retirement look at each situation uniquely because everybody's situation is different. Everybody needs a different amount of income probably to maintain their lifestyle, have things that we want to do. Some want to travel, some don't. Some want a second home, some don't. So everybody's situation is unique, and that's how Brian and Aaron and the team at Decker Retirement look at it. If you have questions or you'd like to find out more, maybe get a little clarity into your retirement picture, 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. All right, Brian, you're getting ready to ask Aaron some questions. Take it away.
Okay, Aaron, so there's on those two risks, one is the markets have changed. If we have a flat market cycle for the next 10 to 15 years, because markets, every time the market valuation on the S&P goes above 30 times trailing earnings, it's produced a flat market. The three times before in the previous 120 years, it's been 100% accurate. We hit that November of 2021. If we go flat into a flat market cycle, that means we'll have bull markets, we'll have bear markets, and net, it will go nowhere over the next 10 to 15 years. Talk to retirees about why that's devastating for their portfolio, especially with a 60, 70% portfolio. Talk about what our allocations are, and then talk about strategy, how when markets go up, we're able to make money, and when markets go down, we can help clients at the very least protect capital, at the very best make money in down markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think I mention this a lot in the meetings that I have with our clients, that a lot of times people get a short-term recency bias, right? They want to see or they remember what's happened in the closest time periods, but forget about how things typically run from a historical perspective. So you ran through those different cycles, Brian, where it takes you 10, 15, 18 years to break even. And I know we had a little bit of a dip in 2022, 2023 basically recovered that, and we're off to a good start this year. But historically speaking, we are due for another difficult market time period. Now, the most recent example of this is the late 1990s to about 2013, 2014, where we have that massive bull run up through 97, 98, 99, early 2000 with all of the tech companies, the internet companies exploding. And then the next 3 years, 2000, 01, and 02, are a massive drop-off. S&P is down about 40%. We do get some recovery up through 07, but then everybody remembers 2008, 2009 hit, and S&P had about a 37, 38% drop at that point in time. Lots of articles, lots of videos at that point in time with people saying, hey, I have to go back to work. I have to move in with my kids, sell my house, make some not so fun financial decisions based off of how their portfolio was allocated. So, Brian, specifically to your point around how much of the portfolio is in those risk type assets, those volatile type investments, you've gone through your working career with 70, 80, 100% of your retirement assets at risk. And that's appropriate at that time, because when you're 30, 40 years old, you don't need the money to live off of. You have your wages coming in and you have the time horizon to be able to recover from some of those big drops. When 2002, 2008 came, yeah, it didn't feel great to have your portfolio drop 30, 40, 50%, but you have a long enough time period to recover that it's not the end of the world. When you're 70, 80 years old and that happens, that's another story. And so when you have 60, 70, 80% of your portfolio at risk, and those types of market cycles or big market corrections come, it means you have to make some really difficult choices, cutting spending, maybe going back to work, doing some things that you really don't want to do. And so for us, we want to, first off, reduce the total percentage of your portfolio that is in those risk or volatile type assets. So our plans do differ by client, but a lot of times the amount you have in those risk assets is in the realm of 20 to 30%. So instead of 70 to 100%, we kind of flip that on its head where the majority of the assets are going to be protected. They're going to be safe. They're going to have some type of a guarantee or protection mechanism. And a smaller portion, 20 to 30%, is going to have that volatility or risk associated with it. So even if you think about doomsday scenarios, that portion of your portfolio takes a 50, 70% loss, it's not going to be an overall 50 to 70% drop on your portfolio because it's a smaller overall allocation. So that's the first point to drive home, that we put a smaller percentage of the overall assets in those risk portfolios. So even if something goes terribly wrong, if there's a doomsday scenario, you're not going to have to cut your income way back, go back to work, any of those nasty decisions because of how much we've put in those categories. So that's the first point. Second is around how we actually allocate those funds over time. So there's a lot of different ways that the risk or volatile assets can be invested. We're going to dive into some of those here shortly, but sometimes in retirement, there's better strategies than just riding the market out. And so we'll hit on those here in just a minute, but we want to make sure overall that you have all of those funds allocated appropriately. You have enough income coming in, you have the protection mechanisms, you're taking the appropriate level of risk based off of your situation, your age, the other goals that you have with your money. And we really, really want to make sure that all of those pieces are fit together well so that when there is another flat market cycle, you don't have to worry about that. So in contrast, if you think about the typical approach, somebody just takes a 60-40 or 70-30 portfolio approach, starts pulling money out of their retirement accounts when they retire. If you have another market cycle like the most recent one, early 2000s to about 2014, you are way, way down on your overall portfolio because not only are you taking assets out of a decreasing account when those market fluctuations and those drops happen, you also don't have the growth when you have the recovery because so much of your portfolio has been drawn down by the living expenses that you've taken out of there. So again, we want to warn you against having a high percentage of your overall portfolio in those risk assets and drawing from them at the same time. There's a better way to be able to draw money out, which is the distribution planning that we do, that doesn't leave you open to creating bigger losses than the market already corrects to be. So any other thoughts to add to that so far, Brian?
No, I want to give a lot more transparency on the brilliance of the distribution plan. You mentioned that quantitatively we reduce risk to about 25-30%. I want to explain why we do that. When you retire, you want two things. You want income and you want growth to replace the income. So if people can imagine principal guaranteed accounts, laddered principal guaranteed accounts, buckets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bucket one is a cash account right now, and we use a database that lets us see what the highest earning principal guaranteed accounts are. We do our homework from banks and insurance companies, and right now our clients are getting 5.1% on a money market account, and that's what we use for our bucket one. And bucket two and three are laddered CDs where they're fixed rate accounts, principal guaranteed, and there we're getting about 5.7 on the 3-year and almost 6% on the 5-year. And then buckets 4 and 5 are a different breed, Aaron. This is where we do not ever recommend, I'll just shoot down the other non-competitive investments. For buckets 7-year and the 10-year, which is buckets 4 and 5 for us, these are principal guaranteed. We want the best rate, and we also want to see the ability to generate monthly income without generating a penalty. CDs can't do that. Neither can municipal bonds, corporate bonds, agencies, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Sallie Mae, treasury bonds can't help us. And by the way, we will never, ever recommend variable annuities, income annuities, life annuities, or income riders for our clients. Never, ever. But there are some equity indexed accounts that we're in the third generation of that we hadn't looked at before that we do now. But even among that category, Aaron, I got to say, we're looking at maybe 4 or 5 out of the hundreds that are out there. These equity indexed accounts are generation 3 smart beta indexes that allocate daily between stocks, bonds, and commodities so they can make money when markets are down in a huge way. In 2000, 01, and 02, S&P was down 50%, NAS was down 70%, and these are able to make money in that environment. Same with 2008s. The times when they struggle are when stocks, bonds, and commodities all go down at the same time, because those are non-correlated assets. That only happens like three or four times in the last 20 years. So these are principal guaranteed accounts. You cannot lose money. And the way that they're set up now in this generation three, as long as the fees are zeroed out, as long as the caps are removed and you look at the best performers, Aaron, in the last 16 years, we're seeing 9%+ average annual returns for principal guaranteed 7- and 10-year accounts. So we're not giving up, any performance by plugging these in. So you've got to do your homework, which we have. But the three genius parts of distribution planning is, number one, we're drawing from the lowest earning accounts first, allowing the higher earning accounts to grow and compound. That's number one. We're using compound interest to our advantage. Number two, because we're drawing income from 75% of the portfolio over 20 years, we draw those down to zero, and we're drawing those accounts from principal guaranteed. So you can go through a year like 2022, S&P down 19, NASDAQ down 33, bonds down 20, commodities were down. Retirees got hit really hard in 2022. And our portfolios, they actually made money in 2022, the whole portfolio. Number three is we're doing two things at once. We're walking and chewing gum. We're drawing income from buckets 1 through 5 for the first 20 years on that 75% of the portfolio. And we're using 25% of the portfolio over 20 years to grow and replace what was started with. So if you start with 1.5 million, 2 million, 800,000, whatever it is, 5 million, in 20 years, you're drawing from that 75% and replacing with the risk bucket what you had drawn from.
So again, and Aaron will get on with the topic at hand as Brian and Aaron continue to discuss risk and a lot of moving parts when it comes to your retirement. If you would like to sit down with the team at Decker Retirement, figure out where you are. How does this pertain to you? 833-707-3030. Again, is a number, no cost, no pressure, no obligation. Great opportunity for you to get clarity. It's 833-707-3030. Might be the most important phone call you make. 833-707-3030. Back with more with Brian and Aaron right here on Safer Retirement Radio.
Do you need help ensuring any remaining assets that you've worked so hard to create are distributed to your beneficiaries in the most tax-efficient manner? If you would like to talk or meet with Brian about your legacy planning, call 833-707-3030. Again, that's 833-707-3030.
Glad you're with us for Safer Retirement Radio. I'm Mark Elliott here with Brian J. Decker and Aaron Ray of Decker Retirement Planning. Again, you can go to the website to learn more, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. You can also go there under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. 12 different things you can download for no cost to you. It's just there for your information. Want to learn more about different areas of retirement? A lot of things you can download right there on the website, including Brian's book on retirement, The Decker Approach Book. 833-707-3030 if you just want to get right to it. Hey, find out where you are. Get some clarity in your retirement picture. 833-707-3030. All right, Brian, back to you.
Aaron, what would you add to that last segment on how the distribution plan lowers risk quantitatively, strategically? We eliminate interest rate risk. We're using compound interest to our advantage. We are drawing income with very high return rates, and then we're not giving up performance because we're getting good rates. But during the first 20 years, we're drawing income down and we're replacing it with the risk bucket. We covered a lot of things in the last segment. Anything that you would add before we hit new material here?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I want to drive home is that our entire approach is intended to keep people retired. Our methodology here at Decker Retirement Planning is not the shoot for the moon and hope to hit it approach. We want to give you surety. We want to give you confidence. We want to give you peace of mind, especially in retirement, as people are relying on these funds, these income streams, to last them for the remainder of their lives. They want to have a level of confidence and surety unlike anything that they've had before. And that's really our goal. We're a very math-based firm. And so we'll show you by the numbers exactly what we're doing, where the funds are allocated, how much income that can provide for you over time, and exactly why we recommend what we do. And so at the end of the day, we're here to be a partner to you. We have recommendations. We want to show you how we approach things, why it works for you, the reason why this has been so successful over time, but we want to help you achieve your goals. And so the people that we typically work with are looking for the confidence and the surety that we can provide, hence why we approach this in the way that we do, where we divide up those funds into those different specific investment vehicles. They each have their own specific purpose and responsibility. And we've done the research and the math to know the best way to approach this. So again, I just want to make sure everybody listening knows that our intention is to make sure that you can stay retired and that you have confidence in the way that we approach this. And we're not going to be the ones that just blame it on the market. We want to make sure that we've put into place plans and contingencies for whatever market cycle happens. We don't want to just hope for the best. And if it doesn't work out, your retirement's dashed to pieces. We want to make sure that regardless of what type of a market cycle we have, we're going to be able to take care of you. You're going to have the income that you need, and you're going to be able to enjoy whatever it is you want to do with those retirement years.
Okay, now let's talk. I said there's three ways that we lower risk. One is we eliminate interest rate risk. Two is quantitatively, we lower clients' risk exposure from 60-40, 70-30 portfolios to 25%, approximately 25-30% exposure to the market. The rest is principal guaranteed accounts. We lower their risk dramatically. Now, let's talk about how strategically we lower their risk. Markets, when they're in an uptrend, what we do at Decker Retirement Planning is we've done our homework, and when markets are trending higher, meaning by definition that the S&P is trading above its 200-day moving average, when the markets are in an uptrend, we've done our homework and found out what strategies work the best in market uptrends. We have the data, and the biggest study ever done since 1950 shows that the top performing models since 1950 based on uptrending markets are momentum, their relative strength, their sector rotation, which all is the same thing. Imagine, and I'll just explain how they're the same and then give an example. So imagine every stock index and ETF is assigned a relative strength score 0 to 100, and you're in the momentum strategy has you in the top performing stocks, indexes, and ETFs. Now, right now, today, the top indexes are the NASDAQ, QQQ, S&P, SPY, and IWM, the small cap index. Those are the three top performing indexes. The top sectors of the market right now are technology, semiconductors, and home builders. And the top stocks, gosh, if you're not in tech, specifically AI, Aaron, your rate of return is quite different. So we are in the top performing momentum models as long as they stay with high relative strength scores. And I'll give you an example. In 2000, 01, and 02, there were many stocks, indexes, and sectors doing very well. For example, in real estate, the REITs were doing double digits during that period. Gold and silver were doing well. Energy was doing well. Pharmaceutical, healthcare, biotech, all those sectors and individual stocks made double digits during that three-year period. Then the markets bottomed in March of 03, and exploded to the upside with small caps, emerging markets, technology, and semiconductors for 4.5 years. Then the markets rolled into 2008. And the way momentum works is if something's not going up, if the trend's not there and the volume's going down, markets are selling off, you are stopped into cash. So in 2008, you had a heavy cash position, but you would have invested in treasury bonds, which were up over 20% that year. That's how momentum works. You're cherry picking the best stocks, indexes, and ETFs as the markets go up. Now, here's the huge benefit to a retiree who can't really afford to take a 30 or 40% hit. When the S&P crosses the 200-day moving average and the markets start a defined downtrend, instead of saying, hey, Aaron, why don't you just ride this out? Well, that wouldn't have worked in 2000, 01, 02. It wouldn't have worked in any of the flat market cycles that lasted 17, 18, 14 years in the last 100 years. That would have hurt you. That advice can and will hurt you in a flat market cycle like we're in right now, we believe. So what happens is when the S&P rolls into a down market, we, just like in the NFL, we have an offense, defense. We pull the offense team off the field. We put the defensive team on the field. Those are four hand-picked momentum models that we tested beautifully in 2022. In 2022, S&P was down 19, NASDAQ down 33, bonds down 20, commodities were down. The only thing that made money in 2022 was energy. The frackers, the drillers, the natural gas companies, the crude oil companies, the pipeline companies and stocks. They made good money, 15, 20 plus percent. So we have the ability to make money, good money, in up markets and down markets, and at the very least protect capital in a down market. So we spend a little time on this, but I just want to say, Aaron, that strategically, when we've got 75% approximately of their clients' money in retirement has no risk, and then we've dramatically lowered their risk in their risk part of their portfolio, the clients at Decker, they sleep well at night. But Aaron, in the remaining time of the radio show, I want to have you talk about why we don't use some of the other vehicles like variable annuities, bond funds, real estate, commodities, options, dividend strategies. Good luck on covering that in the remaining time, but give it a shot.
Sure. Yeah. Let me take a stab at that. So on the first one there, variable annuities, this is one that's just so easy to cross off. Because as part of the risk strategies, you want to focus on protecting some capital in down markets and earning a good return in the up markets. And the problem that you have with variable annuities is they don't do a good job of either. They don't protect any principal in down markets. You can lose money in those. The variable annuities are not protected like some of the other options in principal guaranteed accounts. And they also don't keep up with the positive returns in good markets because of the big fees that you're charged by having your funds within a variable annuity. So again, we don't ever use these. We don't recommend them. If you have them, we can help you, but they're never something that we would put into place for the clients that we work with. So the second one, the bond funds there, this is one we've hit on a little bit during our time here. I've talked about in other radio segments, but with the interest rate environment that we're in and the fact that we want to have high returns over time, bond funds are definitely not a good long-term investment. They don't have any downside protection. They don't track with the S&P 500 in good markets. And so they're just not a great vehicle to be able to focus on the growth of that small portion that we allocate to the risk bucket, to the risk portfolio of our plans. And then for some of those other ones, you talked about options. So there's a lot of different ways that options can be used. Most of the time when you hear people using options in the market, they're essentially gambling, right? It's as if they went to the casino down in Vegas and just said, hey, I think this one's going to go up, this one's going to go down. They buy call or put options and then just hope for the best. So those types of strategies are not very effective in the long run. You may hit a winner here or there. May brag to your friends about some 10 or 50X that you got on a small lucky play there. But where we are looking to invest for the remainder of your retirement, which could be 20, 30, 40 years, depending upon how long you live for, they're not good long-term strategies. They're way too volatile. There's a lot of things involved in that that are not good to generate consistent returns over time. So we kind of crossed that one off there. For some of the other ones, let me talk a little bit about real estate for a second. So real estate can be a great wealth generating vehicle. We typically don't recommend that people go out and buy individual properties unless they're already in that realm. If you have rentals or other things, that's great. But when you're 75 years old, you probably don't want to be out searching for a house, buying that, doing the property management, dealing with tenants, dealing with repairs. There's just a lot of work that's associated with that if you're not already in that game. But real estate, as you mentioned during the 2001 and 02 period, can be very good. And we currently own some home builder stocks and sectors there. And so we typically have exposure to the real estate market through the ETFs and other individual companies that are involved in that model there. So ran through a few of those categories. Anything that you'd add to that so far?
No. Talk about mutual funds and commodities and options and futures.
Sure. So mutual funds are something that can be helpful in certain circumstances. One of the problems with them, holding them long-term, especially with taxable accounts, non-qualified accounts, is they're not great from a tax standpoint. They tend to distribute their gains every year, which for those taxable accounts isn't great. But on an individual basis, in certain time periods with those momentum, relative strength, and sector rotation models, there are certain ones that can be useful on a shorter time basis. So depending upon what industry that they're focused in and what our models are telling us at any given point in time, there is a chance that we'll own a couple of mutual funds at any given point in time, similar to ETFs, where ETFs can be phenomenal vehicles. We use them all the time. In those sector rotation, momentum, relative strength models that we have, that's something that's heavily utilized there, especially for the different sectors of the market. You made a comment a minute ago about the energy market doing really well in 2022. Great way to own those is through ETFs. So those are phenomenal. And then we get into things like foreign exchange. So the Forex market is one of the biggest financial markets in the world. So this would be the US dollar, the Japanese yen, the Canadian loonie, any of those specific currencies. And that is something where we can have a hand in, again, depending upon the specific investment models that we're using at that point in time. So based off those models, there's a lot of different asset classes that we could have our hand in. Most of them would include stocks, the ETFs, mutual funds. A lot of the equity world is mainly what those focus in. So anything you'd add so far?
Oh, yeah. The commodity market and the foreign exchange market, 90%+ of that is hedging. And less than 10% is speculation. So most of that market is used for hedging. When Boeing closes a deal with Japanese Airlines for $5 billion in delivery in 2 years, they have to hedge the currency. They have to hedge all the commodity pieces, titanium, aluminum, those prices, or else they're going to work for free if those prices go against them.
So Brian and Aaron will be back more to talk more about this as we wrap up today's Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Aaron Ray of Decker Retirement Planning. Again, the number, if you want to learn more about how this affects you and your personal situation, whether you can retire, when can you retire, do you have enough, will your money last, are you going to be okay? 833-707-3030 again is the number. 833-707-3030. Totally complimentary. No cost to you. 833-707-3030. Back with our final segment with Brian and Aaron. This is Safer Retirement Radio.
Do you need help ensuring any remaining assets that you've worked so hard to create are distributed to your beneficiaries in the most tax-efficient manner? If you would like to talk or meet with Brian about your legacy planning, call 833-707-3030. Again, that's 833-707-3030.
Have you noticed the market's roller coaster ride lately? Even a single day's dip can significantly impact your retirement. If the idea of shielding your nest egg from market volatility resonates with you, it's time to talk to the experts at Decker Retirement Planning. Call us now at 833-707-3030. Our unique approach aims to dial down the risk, keeping about 25 to 30% of your assets at risk, instead of the conventional 60-40 pie chart. At Decker Retirement Planning, we don't use a pie chart. We strive to offer you a detailed retirement income plan. It's about seeing the bigger picture, aligning your investments to your long-term goals, and making informed decisions. Whether you're new to retirement planning or already have a plan, we can help. Call Decker Retirement today to learn about the six things we do well for our clients that all financial advisors should be doing. Call 833-707-3030 today. That's 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Welcome back to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Aaron Ray of Decker Retirement Planning. You can always learn more on the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. But if you want to find out more about your specific situation, get some clarity into your retirement picture, 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. I'm Mark Kelly. Glad you're with us today. Been a lot of talk today about risk, investment options, strategies, all those things that we really need to do. The transition from all in during our working years to now we need some protected monies as well when we get to retirement. So, Brian, final segment, I'll give you 10 minutes to wrap it all up.
All right. Well, we're going to spend time in the final 10 minutes on the most popular retirement strategies and advantages and disadvantages of those. Aaron, start with the Warren Buffett and the indexing strategies, and then hit dividends. See if you can cover those three in 10 minutes.
No problem. So the stock market is a massive investment world, and there's a lot of different ways that it can be approached. One of the most popular with stocks is indexing. So a lot of times people will use this through different index funds, mutual funds, ETFs, and there are some really good reasons to do the indexing method of stock investment. The first one is performance. You're owning the indexes that beat 85% of money managers and mutual funds each year. So if you're just holding an S&P 500 or Russell 2000 or a NASDAQ type index, over time, those are going to do pretty well. The second is diversification. If it's the S&P 500 specifically, you're diversified among 500 of the best companies in the world. Some of the largest companies here in the U.S. and that foothold in a lot of countries and geographic regions around the world. The third is going to be cost. Some of those S&P 500 and other ETFs are very, very cheap. They don't have high fees. They don't have high expense ratios. Some of them are only a few basis points to invest in. However, there's one reason why we typically don't recommend doing a straight indexing method in retirement. And it's because buying and holding those indexes doesn't provide any downside protection. So we talked earlier in the show today around some of those extended market periods where you don't make any money, 10, 15, 18 years. And if you're in retirement and you go that stretch with zero positive growth in the risk portfolio, that's kind of hard to recover from when you're 80 years old at that point in time. So we want to make sure that there is some downside protection or some volatility protection against those terrible market cycles that typically happen every 15 to 18 years. So that's the indexing for the first one on stocks. The second one that's pretty popular, we call it the Warren Buffett method. Basically buying and holding the blue chip stocks for decades. You buy them at a good value or at a low price and just basically hold on to them forever. So there's a couple of different difficulties with this, especially in retirement. The first one is that those types of specific holdings do cycle. You're going to have every 8 to 10 to 15 years a big drawdown, just like the regular market does. The second part is going to be called creative destruction. So this is where good companies have problems just as financial markets and the business landscape evolve. If you think about companies like AT&T, essentially, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, they kind of had a corner on the market, right? Everybody used their service. They were a big, I don't know if I could use the word monopoly, but a massive company that held a corner of that market. And then all of a sudden, the cell phone was created. And that overnight dramatically changed the landscape for a company like AT&T. You think about some of the others, Kodak, Sears, JCPenney. A lot of these companies that used to be blue chip stocks where you just bought them, held them forever. You knew they were going to go up over time, have a little bit of volatility in the meantime, but basically guaranteed. A lot of the new companies, the new tech ones that are in place right now, Amazon's a great example. That is the reason a lot of those just general retailers are struggling or have gone out of business. So most individual companies go through three different phases: the growth phase, the maturation phase, and a decline phase. And so when you have companies that are falling into that arena, you don't want to be the one to hold them through the decline phase, especially in retirement as they're taking a huge nosedive. You can't rely on the same companies forever. And so where you have the ability to diversify that and get into some other methods that we've talked about that provide some downside protection, this is not, again, a great way to be able to do your retirement risk investing because of those pitfalls there. So anything you add to that before I jump down to the dividend approach?
No, the dividend's the most popular approach, so let's spend some time on that.
Sure. So yeah, like you said, a lot of people get into dividend investing as they're nearing or jump into retirement because they view it as an income producing strategy, where instead of having a heavy focus on growth stocks that either pay a very small dividend or no dividend at all, now the focus is more on buying those specific companies that have a stable or a growing dividend yield that you can use as the income to live off of. So people kind of view this as, hey, instead of owning a rental or a company or something that's going to provide me income, I'm going to just go into a dividend strategy, live off of the yields that are created there, and that's going to be my retirement approach. Now, there's a couple different drawbacks to going this way. The first is what we call sector concentration, where if you look at the companies or the sectors that typically have good dividends that you can actually get a substantial amount off of, they typically fall into one of two categories. Real estate's the first one. Energy is going to be the second one. So these types of sectors heavily, heavily rotate. I mean, you think about the most recent example of real estate in 2008. It took a huge drop. There's also time periods where energy goes through massive cycles, depending upon what specific type you're talking about. So during the 2008 hit, a lot of the REITs were down 60, 70% at that point in time. And so even if you're getting a high dividend, 6, 7, 8%, and you're open to those big principal hits, nobody wants to take a 6% dividend yield and take a 40 or 50% drop from a principal basis or the initial investment amount. So because of those cycles that real estate and energy go through, that there can be some drawbacks to the sector concentration within the dividend model. The second thing is going to be around the specific yield. So a lot of times as people are looking into specific companies or specific vehicles to get that dividend yield off, they look at what the highest yielding options are going to be. Because nobody's going to be able to live off of a 0.2% dividend unless you have a massive, massive portfolio. So when you look at them, you say, oh, okay, well, company A has a 2% dividend, company B has a 4%, company C has a 6%. And you go through this and you're like, oh, well, I obviously want the higher dividend yield. Let's get the 6% or the 8% one. But the yield is only half the story when you're looking at the actual company or the actual investment risk. The companies that offer that high of a dividend, 6, 8, 9, 10%, there's a reason why they're offering that high of a dividend. There's a much higher risk there from a company standpoint, from a default risk standpoint. A lot of times they're hiding things in the financials or the background. They may be borrowing to pay the dividend to make sure that their stock price doesn't tank. And as soon as you have some company that's offering you an 8% dividend, say, ah, we're not going to be able to pay that. We're going to go back to a 6% or a 4% dividend. All of a sudden, not only do you get a dramatic reduction in your dividend payout, but because of that drop, stock price, company price goes way down, and you've now hit that 30, 40% drop just on the shares that you've purchased. Not a great place to be.
So many of the dividend strategies, we check the dividend coverage and it's less than one. So a lot of clients are holding high risk dividends when they had no idea. They thought that a dividend strategy was a lower risk strategy.
So really, we want to just kind of bring your attention to all of the different options that are available from a risk investment standpoint. There's pros and cons to those. We've talked through a number of those different sectors and different options today. And again, you want to make sure that as you transition into retirement, you have the appropriate level of risk, not the 60, 70, 100% of your assets at risk anymore. You want to have a lower portion, like the 20, 30% that we do in our distribution planning. And then with the funds that you do have at risk, you want to have it in a vehicle that's going to be effective for you over time. You're not just investing for 6 months, a year, 2 years. You're investing for decades. And so you want to make sure that whatever vehicles, whatever strategy you choose has a high chance of success for that time period. And that's specifically what we focus on here at Decker Retirement Planning.
So again, I would encourage you to go to the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com, under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. And if nothing else, just get Brian's book on retirement, the Decker Approach book. Kind of gives you some insights into retirement, some of the challenges, things you need to be aware of. And it's no cost to you. Decker Retirement Planning, under the heading of Safer Retirement Education, the Decker Approach book. But if you really want to figure out where you are, how does all of this risk, how does it all affect you? Are you doing the right things? Could you make a tweak here or there that can make a big difference and you don't even know it? This is an opportunity for you, I think, to get a lot of clarity into your retirement, by just talking with the team at Decker Retirement. There's no cost to you. There's no obligation. There's no pressure. It's 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. I'll give it to you one more time, 833-707-3030. Ryan and Aaron enjoyed it. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Mark.
Security and insurance services offered by Decker Retirement Planning, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Decker Retirement Planning is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Decker Retirement Planning. This radio show is a paid placement.